throughout the world. It's football time in Tennessee.
Here's Tua, stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone,
touchdown,
Alabama, Devontae Smith, touchdown, Alabama, and the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord.
Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah, give
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50.
He's got it.
40,
he's got
20,
it.
20. 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour with your host, Drake Colley.
And welcome into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake in the studio this afternoon with Big Lou on the boards. It is Thursday, March 7th, and we are fresh off of a weekend of regional finals in the TLSAA basketball as our local heroes, the Santa Fe Wildcats, will and are advancing to Murfreesboro, Murphy Center, next Wednesday, a week. Well, a little less than a week now.
6 days.
Yep. March 13th, Wednesday, as they are scheduled to play at 5:30 against North Green High School out of Greenville, Tennessee. And Big Lou and I, we had to call Monday night. And it was at Wayne County.
Yep.
A completely packed gym in Wayne County.
Completely packed 40 minutes before tip-off, by the way.
Yeah. One crazy side of the gym was all Santa Fe. The other side was all Wayne County. A little bit, being at Wayne County, it's a little bit heavier crowd for Wayne County. But, I mean, those Santa Fe folks, they showed up and showed out. And Santa Fe overcame a 7-point halftime deficit, 32-25, I believe, was the halftime deficit, to come out a 3-point, 62-59 winner over the home team, Wayne County Wildcats.
We had a blast doing it. That was a great game.
It was a lot of fun.
And you can tell just how invested the Santa Fe community is into that team, because me and Drake were driving back from Wayne County. And it took a little bit longer than normal.
There was a whole caravan of cars going.
There was a caravan going, in front of us going back to Columbia.
Back up Highway 64 and then through Henryville and Summertown. I mean,
yeah.
But it was a special night. And after 100 years, I think last year, Santa Fe celebrated their 100th year of the Santa Fe school being there. First time that any type of basketball program has been to a state tournament.
It's pretty unbelievable.
That's impressive. Congratulations to Coach Brad Slaughter, who I had a lengthy interview with this afternoon before I came to the studio, and we're going to be running that interview, Big Lou, in three different parts. One part tomorrow, one part on Monday when the show, the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour, airs again at 4 o'clock, and then we are going to air – broadcast the Santa Fe North Green game from Murphy Center on Wednesday afternoon. And our broadcast will start about 5 o'clock with the game tipping off hopefully around 5:30. Of course, that all depends on what happens to the game that's played before that game. But
right,
we're scheduled to tip off at 5:30. We're going on the air at 5 o'clock, and we'll have the final third-part segment of Coach Slaughter's interview, and it's heartfelt and revealing, and you folks should really tune in for that. It's something worth listening to.
And I haven't heard it yet either. I'm excited to listen to
there
it.
There you go. Now, the North Green, their opponents, had to travel to, just like Santa Fe had to travel to Wayne County because they lost in the region finals to Eagleville. The loser of the region finals has to travel and play away from home, which is what Santa Fe did at Wayne County Monday night.
They have to play a winner.
That's right. Their opponent, North Greene, also lost in their finals and had to travel to Harriman.
Who had a good team.
Who was like 26-2.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Greene County was like 20-15. Let me repeat that. 26-2, Harriman playing at home against visiting Greene County, who was 20-15. Greene County won the ball game by 4 points. I think it was 58-54.
And they didn't have a spectacular record in the regular season, did they?
Absolutely not. Really, out of those 20 wins they had, and when they were or 21-15 after they beat Harriman, up until the game, the Harriman game, they had won in the tournament, which counts as wins. I think they had like 4 wins in the tournament. So they basically started the tournament at 500.
Yeah.
And ended up winning the sectional, making the region finals, losing the region finals, going to Harriman, beating a very strong 26-2 Harriman team. And now Santa Fe and North Greene will square off this coming Wednesday at 5:30 in Murphy Center in Murphysboro in what is known as the Glass House.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And it's going to be real fun. They're going to represent Santa Fe, first of all, the community of Santa Fe here in Murray County, Murray County Public Schools. And it's a big deal, folks. It's a really, really big deal. And stay tuned. Tune us in tomorrow, and you can hear the first part of my interview with Coach Brad Slaughter, who's had 2 sons, Andy and Auden, and a nephew, Jax, that have come up through the ranks.
Okay, so we confirm that,
Santa
then?
Fe, we have confirmed.
Okay. He's a cousin,
that Jax,
not a brother.
He's a cousin. That's right.
Gotcha.
He's a cousin, not a son. But Andy, who's already graduated, when he started his middle school playing days, that's when Brad Slaughter was pretty much brought onto the scene as an assistant middle school coach, boys middle school coach. And then I think Jonathan Slaughter moved over to the high school girls, and they asked Brad to take over the coaching duties of the middle school boys when his older son Andy was in the 7th, 8th grade. And then when Andy moved into 9th grade, then Coach Slaughter moved up to high school, coached him until he graduated, and then along came Auden behind him. So, and
it's been pretty spectacular.
Coach
to say the
Slaughter,
least.
Brad Slaughter, graduated from Santa Fe High School in 2001.
Okay,
and he's not a teacher. He's an off-site. I can't remember the term for it, but he's not a teacher. He's just he works with provincial security, but he coaches the Santa Fe High School boys, and they are going to the state tournament for the first time in school history. And I know the community of Santa Fe and Murray County and everyone around in this area are extremely excited about this. And I think just talking to Coach Slaughter today in the interview, he's already been looking at 9 or 10 games of tape of North Greene. And he says, even though don't let this upset fool you, these guys are good. They've got a tremendous Mr. Basketball candidate from last year that for some reason is not a candidate this year, similar to what Santa Fe has in Auden Slaughter. Very tough to defend, scores a lot of points, but also has complimentary players on his team that he can go to.
You know, I was kind of excited. I mean, not excited, but kind of shocked to hear that Santa Fe, this is their first time going to the state tournament in boys or girls basketball. I mean, and you know, that's the biggest sport
in
that they play
years.
Over there. In 100 years. And, you know, Santa Fe has always
deal,
had a pretty
man.
Rich history of basketball.
That is a huge deal.
You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Huge.
And, you know, it's a very big deal that they're going. And I'm excited to go with them. It's going to be fun.
Right. Here we go. And we're going to have the game next Wednesday. So if you can't make it to Murfreesboro, tune in Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at 5 o'clock. That's when our broadcast will start, right here on 101.7. Big Lou and I will be in Murfreesboro bringing you the game live. And we can root the Wildcats on. They're three wins away from hoisting the single-A trophy, state championship trophy.
That'd be something.
And, oh, what a parade they would have.
Oh, yeah.
Through the community of Santa Fe, guaranteed.
It would be chaos.
That's right.
Now, up there.
In right now, what's going on in Murfreesboro is the girls' TSSAA state championships in 1, 2, 3, and 4A classifications. Now, yesterday, speaking of North Greene, and I'm not really sure what's going on down in Greene County, Tennessee, where Greenville is. I assume Greenville is the county seat. But the North Greene girls lost yesterday in their first round to Greenfield. I don't think Greenfield is from Greene County, but
if it is, they need to diversify their names.
They lost
a little
by 55-49. So the North Greene girls and boys, same high school, made the state tournament, which is
it's pretty respectable.
Which would have what would have happened if Wayne County had won that had won the game against Santa Fe the other night, because the Wayne County girls are in the state tournament and they won over South Fulton 61-40, beat them by 21. Both of those teams would have been in. But
and in the boys, right, the school from Wayne County, Frank Hughes.
That's right.
They beat Eagleville and is in, right?
That's right. Eagleville, who beat Santa Fe in the region finals, hosted a sectional against Frank Hughes High School out of Clifton, Tennessee, down on the river, which is in Wayne County, which is where Santa Fe played Monday night and came out victorious. So had Wayne County won, then the Wayne County would have had the Wayne County girls, the Wayne County boys, and Frank Hughes High School all in the state tournament.
I think it's pretty remarkable that both the losers in the region finals of the out of those two regions came out and
victorious.
Are now going to the state
That's
tournament.
Right. So, like I said, the North Greene girls lost to Greenville in their first round, 55-49. Moore County beat Clay County in overtime, 58-55. These are all single A first round games. Wayne County advanced, as I said earlier, over South Fulton 61-40. In 2A today, and we'll check the score. Loretta was playing Westview. That game should be over by now. In 3A, there's really nobody in this area in 3A to report on that our signal would cover or be close to covering. Now, in 4A, Lincoln County lost to Cleveland 60-44 as Coffee County, and these are all girls, as Coffee County advanced to play Bradley Central after beating Dobbins Bennett 48-39. So Lincoln County out, Coffee County's in, girls 4A. Loretta and Westview at this at the break here in just a second, we're going to get you the final score on that game.
I don't know how anybody's going to beat Coffee County girls.
They're tough.
I mean, they're what Shelbyville used to be. Speaking of Murfreesboro and Rick Ensel down there coaching the girls,
yeah.
They're unreal.
Got to
see them a couple times with Barry Duke playing Central over the season,
and they're
dominant.
There you go.
They're scary.
Okay, we're up against our first break. I am Drake. He is Big Lou. This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Mules are back in town. Celebrate Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th to 7th in downtown Columbia. All of your favorite Mule Day events are back. Jackpot mule races, log pulling, state auctioneers contest, Miss Mule Day pageant, the driving and gated mule shows, liars contest, and so much more. Don't miss the Mule Day parade, 11 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th through the 7th in downtown Columbia. Visit MuleDay.com for a complete schedule of events.
This is Coach Tredarius Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia. Owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Carrie, registered gemologist. Assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Hey, this is Tripp Stoltz, owner of Columbia Ace Hardware. Spring is here, and we are excited to announce that we have completely remodeled our store. We have expanded our selection in many brands, including Milwaukee, Steel, and Big Green Egg. We have new inventory arriving daily, so come see the changes for yourself at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard, Columbia, Tennessee.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill.
Go to callmepainfree.com. Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I am Drake, and we have an update. Big Lou on the Loretta game. Loretta girls 2A game played today. Loretta won 54-49 over Westview. And their next victim will be Gatlinburg Pittman on Friday, tomorrow evening, 5:30 start. So good luck to the Lady Mustangs on their quest to another state title down there.
Yep. Big deal.
It is a huge deal. Anytime your school can get to Murfreesboro to represent in the state tournament, you should do everything possible to get up there and cheer them on.
I'm telling you, the Lincoln County community did a great job of that. Obviously, I've got people down there and saw some pictures from that game. And
they had a good team. Lincoln County had a terrific girls team.
No shade to MTSU, my school, but that place was packed out more than what it would be packed out for an MTSU game. It was packed.
And I'll tell you who else has a terrific team, and that's the number four team in the country. The Tennessee Vols clinched the SEC last night, regular season title anyway, with a 66-59 win in Columbia, South Carolina.
I had to do it. I'm sorry. I'll just play a little blip.
But it's okay. I'm not mad at you, brother.
I had to. I'm
not mad at you.
First regular season championship in the Rick Barnes era. Not shared by somebody. We had to share it with Auburn in 2017 and 18. It was co-championship, but
well,
congratulations to them. Great game last night.
Up until last weekend, right? Up until they were sharing the regular season lead for the SEC title with Alabama, the defending regular season champ and defending tournament champion.
Correct.
From last year. And Tennessee distanced themselves when they spanked Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And they spanked them.
I wouldn't say spanked.
Well,
it was a good game. Yeah. It was a game
there was
of
a
runs.
Light tapping of the rear end. Let's just put it that way. Okay, but anyway, they were sharing that lead of the SEC up until that point, and then of course Alabama this week went to Florida and got beat.
And I was astonished by that.
And you know, but you know what? Florida's got a good team, man. I mean,
Florida's been playing
tremendously well here the last third of the season.
They completely flipped the 180 there somewhere in January, and had been playing out of their minds. But so, my thing is Alabama just didn't look like they wanted to be there.
Well, I think after losing to the Vols, it took a lot of wind out of their sails. Whatever metaphor you want to use, they just look flat. And after losing the Vols, they understand, because the Vols beat Alabama twice this year. They right. really spanked them up in Knoxville, and then they beat them in Tuscaloosa. And then after that loss, then there was basically no out for Alabama to win the SEC. And I think they were a little deflated, and they traveled down to Gainesville, and they ran into a determined, good Florida Gators team.
I think
wound up getting beat.
I think I just expected more.
Yeah.
From Alabama, considering that, you know, you're still one game back, and Tennessee still has to go to South Carolina, the number 17 team in the country, who already beat them this year.
Right.
And then you got to play Kentucky at home again, which is always a challenge.
Well, it's just tough to stay up. It's tough for these kids to stay up every night and get up for ball games night after night. So. Anyway,
I just expected
congratulations
more.
To the Vols. I mean, and the Vols also, as far as ESPN's concerned, Joe Lenardi, they've locked up number one seed. And I wonder, does that no matter what happens in tournaments? I mean,
I'm not sure if tournaments have anything to do with that, but I think that last number one seed is still kind of a fringe type of thing between Tennessee and Arizona. But I think Tennessee has a slight edge right now.
Well, the only team really standing between Tennessee and a regular season title was South Carolina last night, as the Vols, like I said, went in and took care of business by 66-59.
They made it interesting towards the end. Yeah. Tennessee had about a 12-point lead and allowed South Carolina to go on a little bit of a run there. Made it, I think it was a 3-point game with like 2 minutes to go.
And Tennessee got 26 points from their possibly college player of the year, Dalton Kinect.
He should be.
As he connected.
Yeah, he did.
On 5 3-pointers last night.
Do you have the percentage right there? I think he went 5 of 7 from the arc.
14 points from forward Jonas Adu, right? Is that how you pronounce that? Adu?
Close enough. Adu.
Around the bucket. That's where, you know, he's a big dude, and that's where he gets most of his points, around the bucket.
He's a 7-footer.
And like I said, that officially moved, according to ESPN, move the Vols into a number one seed along with for the March Madness tournament, along with Houston, Purdue, and UConn Huskies.
Yes.
Now, the next game for the Vols is in Knoxville against number 15 Kentucky, and that will be at 3 o'clock on Saturday at Thompson Bowling Arena in the Food City Center.
Yeah.
Grocery aisle? I don't like it either.
I think it's corny too, but.
Just call it. I mean,
it's all about money these days.
I get it.
But yeah, you can't.
I mean, those plane tickets to the Eastern Bloc of Europe, they cost some money, right? I mean, when you go to look, if you scout the globe over there.
And that's what they do. They scout the globe.
You scout the globe. Uruguay, it costs money, France. So you have to pay for those hotel rooms and plane tickets to and from while you're scouting the pro leagues in Slovakia or wherever.
Sure.
So, okay.
Yeah. But you can't argue. I do want to say this. What a schedule that Tennessee has had to go through the past week and a half and got to finish with.
And, well, look
Auburn,
at the
Alabama, South Carolina, all three wins, all ranked in the top,
and probably
25,
Kentucky. You know, why stop now? Go on and beat Kentucky,
and I think that
shoot the moon, as they say in cards. But
that's my argument for
and look how they
Dalton Kinect over Zach Edey from Purdue. Just look at the schedules.
And look how
Purdue don't play nobody.
And look how the Vols started. You know, the Vols started out with teams like Purdue, like Kansas.
North Carolina.
Now, albeit they lost those games, but You know, it made them a better team
This
time of year.
And that's what Rick Barnes does early in the season.
And playing those teams again in the tournament.
It's hard to beat
a good
team twice.
Which they have a very good chance of seeing some of those teams again that they lost to early in the season. Might be their best chance to beat those teams.
You know, it's
not being intimidated.
They always
knowing
say,
how they play,
it's,
doing things maybe a little bit different way this time around.
It's
you
hard
know
to
what
be,
I mean?
It's hard to beat a good,
good
team
teams
twice.
Do. That's right.
Yeah,
that's what good teams do. So
absolutely,
Purdue. Speaking of Zach Edey, claimed their second straight big title last night. They were down 6 at halftime against number 12 Illinois. They were down 40-34 at halftime. And then in the second half, Zach Edey and his teammates played about the best half of basketball as anybody will see as they wound up winning 77-71. Zach Edey had 28 points and just overpowered the inside players for Illinois.
Which is what he does.
But his teammates, made the true difference as the Boilermakers were red hot. Pardon the pun, Boilermakers.
Yeah.
Were red hot. Making 8 of 10 threes in the second half. 8 of 10.
Wow.
80%.
That's wild. 80% from beyond the arc.
When they were only
crazy.
1 for 6 in the first half. So they woke up. And that is the difference, folks, between this year's Purdue team and last year's Purdue team. Because last year's Purdue team came up a little short, was put out of the tournament.
In the first round. That's
because,
a one seed.
Because they didn't have the outside threats, and the defenses could collapse on Edey, really pester him a lot.
And you take him out, you take the team out. That's pretty much it.
If you're able to shoot that three and you're able to draw the defense, you have to go out there and guard those three-point shooters, then what does that do to Edey on the inside? That opens him up.
Frees him up.
And no one man on the inside, I don't care how big you are, can stay and stop Zach Edey from point-blank range around the bucket.
At the college level, no. It's just not going to happen.
So, that's what's going on right now. Last night also, let me finish this up with last night in NCAA basketball action, number 1, Houston took care of Central Florida easily, 67-59. UConn, number 2 in the country, was at number 8 Marquette and won by 7, 74-67. UConn's UConn, top to bottom and about 3 deep on the bench.
They might have the best roster.
They are pretty
dang
tough.
Yeah.
I mean, as we said, the number 4 Vols took care of number 17 South Carolina by 7, 66-59. Number 6 Iowa State won 68-63 over number 20 BYU. Number 15 Kentucky took care of Vanderbilt and probably on his way out, Coach Jerry Stackhouse.
They survived a little bit of a scare, though.
93-77. However, the Commodores covered the 17.5 points. They lost by 16.
They played them tight until about the last 4 or 5 minutes.
Number 22, Utah State over San Jose State by 20, 90-70. Tonight's top 25 action, the battle for the Apple Cup basketball style, as Washington is at number 18, Washington State. That game starts at 8. And number 5, Arizona is at hapless UCLA at 8:30.
They've had a bad year. Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah, it hasn't been good.
No, it hasn't. Uh-huh. I don't. Okay. NFL news. Oh, we got to just have 1 minute before we can do. Okay. Well,
we can just go for it right now.
Well, some Kansas City. Would you want to go on a break now?
It's whatever you want to do, man.
Let's go on a break.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's go on a break. And we're going to get back to some Kansas City fans that might be having parts of their bodies cut off.
Yeah, you're going to want to stay tuned for that one.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you all about that on the backside of this break. I am Drake. This is the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. He's Big Lou. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
The Mules are back in town. For nearly 50 years, Mule Day funds have supported local schools, civic organizations, and improvements at the Maury County Park. Now, Mule Day is working to positively impact the lives of young people in Maury County with a Mule Day Work Scholarship. Encourage young people to apply online at muleday.com/works or check it out to see how you can help to support career and technical education in Maury County. That's muleday.com/works. muleday.com/works.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
This is Jim Ross, and you are listening to Front Porch Radio, WKOM 101.7, located in Columbia, Tennessee.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. We have advertised with WKRM and WKOM for the past several years and found it to be very successful. I highly recommend advertising with them if you have a local business like ours. We're located at 1608 Hatcher Lane here in Columbia. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 2. Stop by Holland's for all your prescription needs where we have fast, friendly, courteous service. We custom fit support hose for you also. Thanks for supporting Holland's and WKRM and WKOM.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hey, this is Derek Ransom with 10 Pin Alley, voted number one family entertainment center in Maury County. We offer 32 bowling lanes, giant arcade, laser tag, bumper cars, and a full cafe and bar menu. We also specialize in group events, kids and adult birthday parties, company parties, sports team parties, and holiday parties. We're located at 322 East James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. Call us today at 931-381-BOWL or visit us at 10pin.com. 10 Pin Alley, it's where the good times roll.
In today's uncertain world, you can never be too careful about your family's financial future. That's why the Parker Group, a part of Baird's Private Wealth Management, is offering a free second opinion on your financial plans. Let us review your current plan, and we will identify any gaps and offer suggestions to improve it. Please call the Parker Group at 931-548-3737. That's 931-548-3737. Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated does not offer tax or legal advice.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I'm going to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at caringheartshomehealthcarellc.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Coach Devin Simler from Columbia Central Baseball. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
And welcome back into the Front Porch Sports Radio Hour. I'm Drake, joined in the studio. Big Lou. We are coming to you live right here on West 7th Street. It is Thursday afternoon, March 7th. And before we went to break, I was telling you about some poor Kansas City Chiefs fans that decided to go to, I believe it was the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a wild card.
Was it the wild card game against the Miami Dolphins in Kansas City at Arrowhead? And it was pretty cold that day. And I'm going to tell you, it had wind chills of minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Excuse me, 27 degrees Fahrenheit. The Chiefs won the game 26-7. The extreme cold snap in that area for that day generated at least 11 cases of frostbite and one victim died, according to the Kansas City Star. Dr. Megan Garcia of the Grossman Burn Center, medical director, said 70% of the patients admitted for frostbite during the extreme January cold had been advised to undergo amputation.
Wow.
So she said, quote, the patients who had their frostbite injuries along with the Chiefs game, they are just getting to the point now where we are starting to discuss their amputations. And that might be necessary for some victims. She said the other 30% will still be dealing with lifelong problems. They'll have sensitivity and pain for the rest of their lives and always will be more susceptible to frostbite in the future. So we are also educating them to make sure they stay warm for the years and months to come. And all I envision, I remember that game seeing four or five guys in the stands with their shirts off.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's,
Not only should you not be in the stands with your shirts off trying to prove how masculine you are or how hard you are, can't see, you need to be bundling up, covering your extremities, your face, you name it. You need to be putting more clothes on than taking more clothes off.
Yeah, I'm telling. I mean, they tried to embody Buffalo Bill mania culture in Kansas City, and I guarantee you at least 90% of those cases that you just listed were those people with no clothes on in negative 27 degree weather in Kansas City that night. I mean, you know, if you see somebody beside you and they buy a beer and they open it and it instantly freezes and pops out of the can, you know, that probably should be a warning sign to you that you should probably
put
a hat
cold
on or something.
So, you know, my question is, and you brought that up before the show, Big Lou, you said, you know, in those types of extreme temperature, what about the players playing? What, you know, they're out there in their uniforms, and I know they put on some thermal underwear or thermal clothing and stuff like that.
And they've got heaters on the sideline.
And I understand there are precautions taken. But, I mean, frostbite's frostbite.
And by the way,
if you're a quarterback, and you get frostbite in a finger or something, and
you're done.
I know.
That's it.
But then who do you go to when after the game and after they take a finger off and you can't throw a football anymore? Obviously, the NFL asks you to play under these conditions. And so you as a player, something has to happen legally, I would think, at that point. I mean, what if Tua or Darlene Con- I mean, not Darlene Connors, but Patrick Mahomes had to have part of their fingers taken off or something of a throwing hand, and it ruined their career because they had to play a wild card game in -27-degree wind chill.
I'm pretty sure that that's probably a bigger issue for Miami, you know, having to go to Kansas City from Florida and having to play in conditions like that when they're usually playing at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami where it's probably 80 degrees that same Sunday in January. But, you know, I think that the precautions taken by NFL teams in those kind of conditions are far more than we probably understand. I know that Kansas City is one of two teams. I think Lambeau Field is the other one for the Packers that has coils underneath the field, and the field is actually heated. It's a heated field in Kansas City.
Yeah, keep the snow and ice off.
And they've got jet engine heaters on the sideline, okay. Heated jackets, trench coats. But I agree. You know, if that were to happen, it'd be a pretty, pretty big deal.
Well, the Broncos and Russell Wilson have parted ways. They're going to cut Russell Wilson loose. The 35-year-old will explore which teams could take a chance on him this coming season. However, Denver still owes the man $39 million. And the minimum he can make is 1.21. So if the Titans, I mean, just say the Titans, were to take a flyer, take a chance on Russell Wilson, bring him in, you know, they could get him at a great price because there's another team already paying, let's just say, let's round it up to $40 million
for the
year. So why not bring in somebody like Russell Wilson, been in the Super Bowl, you know, just.
It's actually $40 million a year for the rest of his contract. They owe him 85.
Oh, well, I stand
85
corrected.
Million. That's what the Broncos are going to owe over the next two seasons. I don't even know how you can operate a business after something that detrimental happens. That's crazy. $85 million you're just paying to somebody that's going to be playing
for somebody somewhere
against
else?
You. It's crazy. I can't understand why they paid him that much in the first place. I can't remember exactly what that deal was, but he's only been there for 2 years. I think it was something like, you know, $160-170 million, you know, a long-term deal. And he's out of there that quickly.
Last night, the Boston Celtics, who look to be far and above the best team in the NBA right now, had their 11-game winning streak snapped last night while they were – it was Kelsey night at the Cleveland Cavaliers' home court as Jason and Travis Kelsey were both sitting courtside.
I think they're from around that area.
Yeah. So it was Kelsey night, okay? So the brothers were there. I guess they're family members. Anyway, it was Kelsey night. And the Celtics had a 22-point fourth quarter lead. Let me repeat that. And they lost 105-104 to snap an 11-game win streak. Now, you explained to me how a professional basketball team, they play 12-minute quarters. At one point during that 12-minute quarter, they were ahead by 22 points.
Sounds like
and they
got...
played bad enough or terrible enough to have the Cleveland Cavaliers come back and in the greatest comeback in the fourth quarter in Cavalier history without LeBron, because LeBron used to play for the Cavs, you know.
Correct.
But they lost 105-104 on Kelsey night.
I think that sounds like Boston got a little comfortable You're riding 11-game win streak. You're up by 22 in the fourth quarter. It sounds like they kind of just gave up.
I mean, you would think they would get a little comfortable. I mean, I would be.
Kind of sounds like a team in another league down in Nashville or up in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two nights ago, which was devastating, by the way, the Predators losing.
Yeah, and what about our Predators? I mean.
They were robbed, by the way. They were robbed.
So last night, it was last night. No, night before last.
One of the two.
I think it was Tuesday night.
I think it was Tuesday.
Tuesday night, they were playing the Montreal Canadiens in Smashville, riding an 8-game win streak.
Longest in franchise history.
Feeling good about it. Kind of feeling like the Boston Celtics were feeling, right?
Right around that same vibe.
So they're up 2-0 in the second period. Montreal scores a goal. Makes it 2-1. And then after the goal, they have the face-off in the center circle. The Predators win the face-off. I believe his name, David Savard, got the puck and was shooting it to Saros behind the Preds' goal. And you see, I saw the video, and Saros just kind of skates behind the goal, and he's just going to – Savard just going to send it in along the boards. Sarah's going to take the puck, gather it up after the faceoff. It's 2-1, second period, no big deal. Well, Savard throws it up on the glass kind of to get it to Sarah standing behind the goal. It hits, I think it's pronounced stanchion, which means it's a stanchion is like a frame that frames in. They're kind of what holds those glass pieces together, the metal piece
that
gives them some support, the glass board above the boards.
Yeah.
Well, he throws it up on the glass. It hits the stanchion and goes directly left and slides into the empty net goal to make it 2-2 in the second period not long before the third period started.
Yeah.
And the Canadiens rode that momentum from that crazy, ridiculous goal by a Preds player, and then they tied up 3-3 in the third, and then go to overtime, and the Preds lost 4-3.
Well, right there at the end of regulation, Nashville scored, and then it was challenged by Montreal, and they called a high stick penalty. So they wiped off the goal that would have won them the game. After that, Montreal gets a penalty off of the high stick call, and Nashville takes it all the way out of regulation without giving up a power play goal. They have 10 seconds left on the power play in overtime, and right at the last second of Montreal's power play, they score about 5 to 10 seconds into overtime.
Well, see, I agree with that stop the steal. See what I'm talking about? I mean, I agree with that part of it. I just do. We got robbed. The Preds got robbed in multiple ways in one game last night.
It was a weird night. It was a weird game.
So, you know, what do you do? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't. You like to think that, I mean, you know.
And then, you know, it's tough to be on a winning streak like that, and obviously you've got that motivation to keep winning. And then, you know, you can kind of see that, you know, you lose one, and now it's like, well, the winning streak's over, so we're probably just going to go back to playing like the regular Predators and not like the best team in hockey. I hope that's not true, but it could be.
An online publication, The Athletic, is ranking college football coaches as of right now. I mean, you know, you've lost – Nick Saban from Alabama. You've lost Jim Harbaugh from Michigan, right? So they wanted to rank, and right here towards the end of the show, we're just about to leave you. But here are their rankings for 2024. Kirby Smart from Georgia, and we're going one on down, is one. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson is number two. Lance Leipold at Kansas, done a terrific job there, is three. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama is ranked number four. Ryan Day is five. Brian Kelly, six. James Franklin at Penn State is seven. Kyle Whittingham at Utah is eight. Lincoln Riley, nine. Mike Norvell, Florida State is 10. Now, let me slide on down the list here and see if we can find Josh Heupel is ranked number 17.
Mm.
You think that's too low for Josh Heupel?
I sure do.
You think he's getting a little disrespected right there?
I really do.
Well, that might set a fire under his rear end to put the Vols on top this year.
Definitely good.
That's what it's going to take. All right. Don't forget, folks, we're going to have the interview with Santa Fe Wildcat-bound head coach, state-bound head coach, Brad Slaughter, tomorrow and Monday. And then we're going to.